Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Everyday Struggle podcast. I'm Nadeska here with DJ Academics and Wayno. We're looking back at some of the biggest hip-hop stories of the week, and we'll also discuss a topic that didn't make it to our YouTube show. Is Tory Lanez a genius for working on a Spanish language album right now, or is he taking a big risk? That's coming up, but first, Quentin Miller. I'm sure you all remember Quentin being thrust into the spotlight as Drake's alleged ghostwriter back in 2015, and he resurfaced again this year when Pusha took shots at Drake on Infrared. Quentin joined us on set this week and shared his thoughts on the entire fiasco.
So when it comes to the Drake Pusha thing, I mean, you can Complex did a timeline on they history of beefing with each other. So I mean, I can't really say that like one can't diss the other. I feel like they both kind of been taking shots at each other. Now when it comes to me in the situation, like I said, after the Meek situation, we separated. I've been out here on my own, building my own relationships, working with whoever. I met Pusha T through Hit Boy, my man. Shout out to Hit Boy, my brother. What I'm saying? And when I linked up with him, I told him, like, look, man, I'm trying to do my own thing, you know, whatever. He always respected me, bro, linked me up with all kind of people, like, you know what I'm saying? Tried to link me up with booking agents, tried to link me up with management agencies and shit, you know, just... You know, it's whatever, but he always like showed love. So I don't know. When it came to that, it was like I couldn't pick a side because I ain't really spoke to that side in years. And this dude been a good dude to me this whole time. So it's like at the end.
But do you think the OVO team would feel a way about your relationship with Pusha? Like you probably wouldn't be able to be tight with them.
I'm sure they would.
Or even just, well, I was really asking about the line because, like, I listened to that line now and I was like, that's not like the biggest diss. Like,
it's
it's a subtle jab, but like, as a rapper, and you know, rappers a lot of times they play off certain shit, right? Like a lot of people, when Jay-Z used like Future's son in like a reference to like whatever about kids. Like, some people say, yo, that's not a diss. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you use it as a reference, but it's not like a diss.
Yeah.
Did you take it like, oh, shit, that's
I didn't know how to take it. So when I first heard it, like, I heard it on, like, a clip on Instagram. And I text him. I was like, yo, did you shout me out? And he was just like, yeah, you know, you deserve your credit, whatnot. And then the next day, he did them interviews. And when he did interviews on Breakfast Club, and he didn't say nothing about me deserving my credit, so that's when I hit him.
Yeah.
Like, damn, you know, I thought it was about me. I thought you were shouting me out, but it really wasn't. You were just using me as a pawn. And then that's when he was like, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, but we fixed that, you know what I'm saying? Because he fixed that, he called me and everything. So, like I said, you know, that's like a weird situation.
Trust these industry niggas, man. I can learn this lesson.
Was it him using you as a pawn or just using as a clever line to, like, say something towards Drake?
When I say pawn, I don't think he meant it like in a like fuck Quentin way.
Yeah, because a pawn is like sacrificial.
But it was kind of like, you know, just something to use, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And which I get you using it, but as Quentin Miller, all I did was bring back an old conversation that I was 3 years away from, you know what I'm saying?
And you said you felt bad about it, right? Because you knew you were trying to get away from it. All right, so the first time you went through it with Drake and Meek, I'm sure that shit caught you off guard. Round two, now with Drake and Pusha, what's it like being in headlines all over again for similar shit? deal with it easier this time. Well, you dropped an album, so at least that you have a handle on it.
It's cool. You know, it has its benefits because, you know, people look at you. But then at the same time, it's just like, man, like, you know, if I say I'm about to address everything and I'll get like 150,000 retweets, you know what I'm saying? But then I drop my own shit and then it's like, I appreciate it because that's where my real fans are. That's the people that really fuck with my music. And, you know, shout out to y'all, you know, but like that the Drake beef shit, it just be the hype. Like the first time, you know, I was excited. Man, I worked hard. I put Hey Thanks a Lot 3 together, which got Eight Alive. I had Black Jesus on it. I got fucking Juicy J on it. A bunch of Hip-Hop beats, Vic Mensa, Rich the Kid, all kind of shit. Like I went crazy to put that album together, you know, and the shit got, you know, shredded. So, hey man,
would you score that beef? Like, you know, what I mean, just on a music level, like story versus the story of Added On versus Duppy Freestyle. Like you just from a rapper's perspective.
From a rapper's
perspective.
I feel like it's interesting, like the difference in times, right? Because if you compare that to Ether, right? So Nas drops Ether and it's fire. And then Jay drops Super Ugly and he talks about the condos and the baby seat and shit. And everybody was like, oh, it's too far, bro. You went too far. Nas got it. His shit was elegant. That just goes to show you the difference in times. Because in 2018, Super Ugly wins. Ether wouldn't have won.
Really?
You saying the most aggressive, most off the wall, offensive shit, that wins today. Because people have no morals today.
But Ether was super, Ether was super offensive too. Takeover's a better like Takeover to me is a better well put together song, but Ether became like people say still you got ethered.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing.
Ether,
that you could be playing basketball, uh-huh. You could be joking, whatever.
Yeah.
That's a thing, being ethered.
Yeah.
Now I do get what you're saying, but at the same time, Ether was disrespectful as shit, yo.
It was, but it wasn't.
I remember.
I'm old enough to remember.
If I'm paraphrasing what you're saying and the difference in times, which I think to some extent you're right, right? If we look at it in that perspective. Mm-hmm. But are you almost saying that you felt like Duppy Freestyle was pretty elegant and cool?
To me, outside looking in, shout out to Pusha, shout out to Drake. To me, Duppy Freestyle was Ether. Sonically, it was a better diss song.
You just hit a nerve.
But Pusha went super ugly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And in today's time, Super Ugly wins. I'm not a super ugly guy. I'm super nice.
Hold on. So, you know what, though? That's what I was saying to you a lot about the story of Added On. Like, lyrically, it's definitely not trash. It's pretty good. But the thing that stands out is what's revealed. Like, it's
because
really,
when it comes to Pusha T, lyrically, nothing is ever trash.
Pusha T was what did it.
Drake taking nothing from him. He's a great artist. He's going to be one of the greatest artists ever to do it, whether it's somebody helped him or not. In terms of rapping, he's not a better rapper than Pusha T.
Later in the week, we finally got something we've been patiently waiting for. 4 new songs from Chance the Rapper, and no one was disappointed. I never seen act jam so hard to.
This is music, baby. It's music.
We need the I Cam.
This is music. I was gonna say off top, forget all those fuckery releases that we. Well, actually, it wasn't that many bullshit releases that we got this year. But this is the best EP of the year, just off top. Chance absolutely delivered. I love this song. Already a classic.
So the rest are called Workout while the Cams.
This song is a classic. I Might Need Security.
This is my favorite one.
It's a fucking classic. Jamie Foxx, a legend. That was a legendary comedy, especially mm-hmm. in my eyes.
Right.
And for him to sample that. And you know what I mean? I felt like I had a little, I heard Chance with a little edge. You know what I mean?
He's talking his shit this time.
Yeah, I'm kind of accused. You know what I mean?
Here we
my
go.
My man
with
Chance
the Bible
is like
verses.
A little Bible thumper, and it's all good with that because you know what I mean. I'm a man of the cloth too. But he was. It felt like he had some shit to address, especially about his city. He got the mayor. You know, people been tweeting at me that he dissed me. I don't get it. Like, I don't know why.
The mayor dissed you or Chance dissed you?
Chance, because okay. He said something about, like, my enemy lives in his mother's basement. I'm like, bro, he ain't talking about me. Ooh. He probably talking about the devil, man. Like, he ain't talking about the devil.
Definitely not in the basement anymore.
Yeah, but, yo, this is a well-put-together EP, and we have gotten, like, a couple artists through a couple EPs out. I love this joint. Okay, not only this particular song, I Might Need Security. The workout is amazing. 65th
and Ingleside.
Ingleside, also great. Those are my top three. The other one's okay. But to me.
3 out of 4, amazing.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, I gotta dig in a little bit on it because it's like, Chance is not like my go-to for music a lot. What was it, Coloring Book?
Yeah.
I like Coloring Book, and then he sprinkles stuff here and there. I gotta dig in it on a little bit more, but I do mess with this drink.
Yeah.
I might need security heavy.
So if you're like a longtime Chance fan, like especially Coloring Book, it's like there's a lot of feel good biblical stuff on here. This is like the first time, but you really hear him talking his shit on here. Talking about, I bought up like a media company to get all the racists out of here.
Yeah.
Fuck the mayor. He addresses personal issues, people criticizing him when he makes donations. They're focusing on his personal life. It's nice to hear him sort of own this.
Yeah, I got to keep it 100, yo. Like, since Kanye in the sunken place, like, honestly, Chance, from what I hear from Chance, is what I used to expect to hear from Ye. Like, Chance is my new Ye. Mm-hmm. And, I've been hearing a lot of stuff from him that seems very socially conscious. He still focused heavily on the music. Like, I love how he fucks with all these samples. Like, Chance is in his bag. Literally, yeah, he's in his bag.
He's having a good year. Like, what I liked about it was the line, who told all these rappers that a big deal is not a big deal?
Mm.
You know, because everybody always criticizes him for, like, taking the deal with Apple or not, or calling him independent or not. And he did take a deal, but think about what he probably did with that.
Mm-hmm.
He's done so much for Chicago, and he's doing a lot of
Grammy
music.
With a mixtape.
Yeah, like he's on another level. He's on another level. I got to dig in more on this EP.
Yo, Chance, welcome back. We're excited for more music. We know there's more on the way.
Who produced it? This,
I think on this is Jamie Foxx, Peter Cottontail, I believe.
Yo, he got me so excited for like his project coming up. I didn't expect this. Like, this is to me, this is like the perfect precursor to like an album. I'm still not expecting, and I don't want an album with him and Ye.
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like,
because this is the wave I want him on. Mm-hmm. Again, I can't tell an artist what to do.
Hey, Chance, let Kanye produce it. Please don't let him rap on it.
Yeah, don't let him rap.
Please, for the people.
No Ye raps.
We're good on Ye 2018.
Until 2020 and beyond.
Not even 2020. We don't want that either.
Again, for the audience, if you guys haven't listened to this, this is amazing. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, well, I'm like, glad you like this.
Yeah, okay.
We never know what to expect with you.
Yeah,
and you always come with the Chance jokes.
No,
it's nice that
I could catch a couple jokes, and everybody got to get joked on. But this is amazing work. You get me? Like, I like when the artist is saying some shit. I like when the music is there. I like when it's just not bullshit. And this is quality music. I love it.
Yeah, no lie. It's hard listening to new music at 5 a.m., but this was actually enjoyable.
I'm going to actually try to give it because his brother dropped the EP, too. I think he's
Taylor
dropping
Bennett,
one. Yeah, I'm going to try to listen to Taylor shit, too.
Now, on to something that we really don't know if we want at all. Chief Keef's upcoming hologram tour, which kicks off in the UK before heading back to the States and his hometown, Chicago.
So Keef first tried this back in 2015 in Indiana, but the cops shut that down real quick. Now he's teaming up with Hologram USA for the Chief Keef and Icons of America music tour. So it is a 90-minute experience, which kicks off August 31st in London, then heads back to Chicago and the States. Now, he obviously can't go to London because of legal restrictions, so that might be one reason. Keef told Billboard, police and the mayor wanted to stop my hologram show in Chicago. Fuck Rahm Emanuel. I'm bringing it anyway, first up London. So that's the second fuck you to the mayor of Chicago today. This is the future. Hologram tours.
This is the most innovative and laziest shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, if you can put yourself on tour and get paid for it without actually having to go, that's insane. Like, I mean, I never thought I'd ever see some shit like this. The first hologram I seen was the Tupac shit. Was
that Coachella? Yeah.
Years ago. But for him to actually do a hologram tour, and what's crazy is I know they paying him something insane to even do something like this. That's crazy. Like,
it's like, okay, so if legally you can't travel to other countries and you still want to make your money, it's cool. It's innovative, but I'm just nervous other rappers are going to think they could do this.
Yo, this is, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, this shit is bugged out. Like, you could really just be like, man, I'm not going on tour. I'm going to send my hologram. Like,
man, Chief Keef better cut it the fuck out, man. Listen, I, and as a fan of Chief Keef, and by the way, the reason why this is possible, which I thought was his former label owner, but like we'll just call him business partner. His business partner, Alki David, owns this company that does the hologram thing. So they've done it for Pac and they've done it for Biggie and I believe Eazy-E as well.
Yeah.
And I love those because those guys are dead. If Chief Keef don't get his ass back to Chicago, it's just warrants, bro. Yeah. Like, bro, you're alive. You're right. In fucking Hollywood, no. Chilling on Segways, like sipping lean and just having a good time smoking weed. Yeah. Get your warrants cleared up. As a fan of Keith, yeah, your music does bump. And this of course, crazy. if a fucking hologram is jumping around singing The Bitches Love Sosa, I'll turn up too. But get the fucking warrants that I can see you in person. Fuck am I looking at a hologram image run across the stage? By the way, Chief Keef is not even that great of a performer.
He's not.
Not even like, yo, like, oh shit. Like, okay, we're not going to get him, but we're going to get the hologram. Have you ever seen Chief Keef perform?
I've seen.
Walking around lazily. Smoking. Pants almost falling down, smoking, not even rapping, just basically listen to his own song.
We have to check Chief Keef's finesse levels. He might be Nigerian. This is like, I ain't gonna fret. Like,
the Nigerians be in the Everyday Struggle. Mentions well, like, I love it.
No, because look, but the last time I said something, he's like, y'all great at the hustle, and this shit is insane. Like, to get paid to go on tour and not actually go, you say he's alive.
Well, here's the thing with Keith, too, right? Like, again, 2012, and I remember he did this in like 2014, 2015. He tried it in Indiana, but Indiana cops were like, nigga, we said you're banned. We don't give a fuck.
About
your
hologram
is banned too. Right. They plugged it out, which is so hilarious. Like the fans are turning up.
And
the cops just walked up and said, no, nigga, we don't want to see a fucking digital image here neither.
Yo.
But here's the thing, like, he was super hot back then.
Yeah.
Is Keith, like, again, if we're talking about one of the hottest artists now, okay, maybe if circumstances like permit, right?
Yeah.
But Keith, man, as much as I love you and as much as of an icon you are you that hot that you could send your hologram out?
You know what? This shit would be lit.
What, we gonna send out clones next?
Right, exactly.
No. Like lookalikes and stand-ins?
This would be lit if he was locked up. Like if he was locked up.
Kodak could do this, man.
Yeah, if he was locked up.
Bobby Shmurda should be making holograms.
We gotta get Bobby would have been dropping a new dance every week.
Listen, we gotta get a Bobby Shmurda hologram tour because that could be lit, but. This is insane. Like, I'm just saying it's so fucking lazy. Like, rappers, they're already not rapping as much. Now, they're just, like, doing whatever. Now you can just chill in the crib and go on tour.
Imagine the stage dive that the Hollywood It's the first risk-free stage dive ever. Just hologram.
Issues.
Right. this is insane, God. Yo. It's only 2018. Do you understand this? This is only 2018. You know what the fuck is going to happen in 10 years?
Future's looking dark, yo.
For real.
You know what, though? I love the idea that what technology could do for just, like, concert culture, but also hip-hop culture. Because it was dope when I saw, like, Snoop performing with Pac.
Yeah.
And it was a hologram Pac.
Yeah.
And, I mean, like, ideally for me,
yeah.
If you pass away, I get it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe down the line, maybe an X-like hologram, right? Or if you're, like, locked up and people really want to see you, but we can't get to see you for a long while, maybe that too. But, you know what I mean? Like, there's these new ways how people are digesting concerts and just live experiences. Like, I told y'all, like, I had Tidal, and I think they just canceled my subscription. But
cheap ass. Pay for it.
They gave it to me for free.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah, to try because I was bashing it. Anyway, but like I loved watching Uzi like perform. Like I watched that performance on Title X like at least like 20 times. Now they got these new things where people could get virtual reality like an experience of a concert. So you're in your crib, but you get a virtual reality look and it feels like you're in a concert. So the concert goer is getting fucking lazy too.
Yeah.
You don't even gotta leave a crib to feel like you're in a concert.
Yeah, because you know right? People was watching Summer Jam at home.
Yeah.
Like this shit is like the, you know I'm a movie guy, Demolition Man.
This
like
guy
it's
always.
So for real, where you could just like do anything from home.
It's like that's kind of cool because like a lot of times the tickets are too expensive. People can't travel. So it's like if you can't make it, it's already sold out. Cool, you have that. But yeah, the hologram thing.
That's crazy.
Look, if you're already a lazy performer, cut the hologram shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The next thing I'm waiting for is these motherfuckers to say, I'm not even doing an interview. I'm sending my hologram.
That's okay. Nasty.
That actually might be easier than, never mind.
But on some real shit, like I do want to see how, like I'm embracing the technology.
Right.
I don't know, like as a fan, I'm still a little resistant. I don't want to see a fucking digital thing just jump on stage.
Yeah, that's going to, like, come on. That takes away from the whole live experience because it's not live. You're not dealing with a real human being. I mean, one of the biggest things about performing is it's nothing like the performer looking at somebody in the crowd and everybody turning their attention there. The performer saying, yo, this side, I need y'all louder than this side.
People
want to
see you
and,
in the flesh. Like, for like, a lot of the fans, it's the only chance they're going to see you in real life.
Yeah,
right?
Like,
well, how about if they combine it like this, though?
What?
Right? Because so with hologram technology, basically, Keith would go to the hologram place, whatever, and record a show.
Right.
Right? And then that show basically just gets played. And it's really not interactive. It's not live, right? You're just seeing that performance of the artist moving around. But I remember, which was years ago, it was kind of like a Skype performance almost because Vybz Kartel, who's a Jamaican artist, he's banned from the United States. But they have like this like best of the best type of thing that happens in Miami. Huge dancehall crowd. They wanted to see Vybz Kartel.
Yeah.
So they couldn't come out.
He performed...
It was like, they call it via satellite.
Right.
It was a big ass screen, like some Titantron shit.
Right.
And he performed, and he was really talking to the crowd. Like, he could see, like, a delayed feed.
That's dope. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's kind of interactive. Maybe if they could have some shit where, and again, it has to be for the right shit. Mm-hmm. If you really can't do it, fine.
Well, you know what's so crazy? I'm going to keep it all the way funky with this one, right? If you're a young person and you're paying to go see a fucking hologram, you need to find something else to do with life. Like, for real, like, I'm just being all the way real. If you are a young person of the ages of teenage to, like, early 20s, and you spend money on a ticket to not even see a person just to see a hologram, you need some advice in life.
Black Mirror, y'all. We'll see how fans feel about the hologram tour soon enough. Another big topic this week was Young Thug. The Atlanta rapper, aka the Drip God, is demanding credit for influencing other artists with the bold fashion choices he made a few years ago, like wearing dresses. All right, so in terms of getting crucified, he's only speaking facts. People were killing him for the outfits and everything, I believe even the Naked album cover. Can we say that he's paved the way? Because we've also talked about like Andre 3000 sort of opening the doors for him to continue opening the doors, right?
Yeah, I feel like, because I compared like a 3K to Thugga in terms of like, I wouldn't just say style, but direction of not being scared to just be an artist. Like, it was one point in time where Dre didn't do the shit that Thug did, but people was looking at him crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, because he came out, he was rocking the Atlanta Braves jerseys, the Atlanta Braves hats, Falcon shit, all of that. And then once he got with Erykah Badu, it seemed, you know what I mean? Like, he took a real change in his wardrobe, all of that. But as far as Thugga, he has opened some doors, but I don't even know what those doors are, really, as far as, like, in fashion-wise, because I feel like a lot of these artists, they look like fly-ass aunts.
Yeah, like, but I feel like he was the first one of this, like, new wave of rappers to really come with the crop top.
Yeah,
super, super tight jeans, and then we saw Uzi with the bag.
Hold on.
One of the first.
I'm not giving the tight jeans thing. I'm giving that to Wayne.
Crop tops?
Wayne made it acceptable.
Although Cudi did wear
Cudi.
A crop top.
Cudi, no. Cudi wore the crop tight top jeans.
The dresses, the cross-dressing.
Literally wearing women's clothing. Maybe that's what we should say. He said it. He was like, those are the sizes that fit me.
He definitely, I think he took all the daggers now. But you know what? I always say, like, when artists are demanding credit and reminding people of, yo, remember, I was whatever. It's usually a reflection moment of them seeing other people getting praised for shit that they've been crucified for.
Right, right, right.
And now, like, you know what I mean? I'm thinking, like, who the heck is rocking dresses other than Doug?
Uzi? Not dresses, well, but he had the bag, I remember.
Well, my nigga Uzi is wearing, like, dominatrix outfits. Yeah, like,
Uzi got on some shit like he's heading to a satanic ritual. Like,
well, now, but got... I feel like he had a phase in the
no,
middle.
No, he did have a time where he was wearing some, now, like,
he had a cold pocket
shears.
Books. Like, a cold pocket books.
Like, I mean, I'm going to keep it all the way real. Be like, it's never influenced
me. You're so Harlem, I know. We're not going to see you in a crop top.
No, you're never going to see me in that. And I don't know what it is to grow up in this era.
He made Atlanta niggas be able to be Atlanta niggas, bro.
What?
I think that's what you're trying to say.
What?
All y'all Atlanta niggas that couldn't really express yourself like y'all wanted to because of these boxes on hip-hop, I kicked the shit down.
He made it easier okay? for the Migos to wear floral blouses. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think a lot of it is expression. I think a lot of it is just following. I don't think that these guys is like, oh, I can finally dress like this now because he's doing it. I think that a lot of that shit was just like them growing up. Like, if you see a young rapper that's from Atlanta or wherever, if he's 20 right now, when he was 15, that's when Thug's been out roughly like 5 years strong now, right?
Has it been
like
that
2013?
Long?
Yeah, about from 2013 to up until now, right? Mm-hmm. Like 5 years strong. So it's like, if he's seen Thug, I don't think that a lot of it is just saying, oh, I've always wanted to dress like that. I think it's like them just following what's the most popular thing to do, mm-hmm. and then finding themselves as an artist and then using that because it garners attention. Like, if you're wearing a fucking, if you're wearing a woman type bag, people are gonna pay attention because they like, dudes don't wear that.
Yeah.
But the thing that kind of throws you off is because these dudes, you hear about them, you're like, nah, they give it up in the streets. Mm. But they got on a woman's bag. So it's, I don't know how to interpret that shit. Like, I've never dealt with that from a face value standpoint.
Yeah, and I do get what Thug is talking about. Like, we see a lot of these artists now, their fashion choices, and it doesn't have to be, like, feminine. It's just odd. Like, you know what I mean? We seen Trippie Redd. That nigga, I don't know what the fuck that nigga was wearing even now. But you can't. I can, and maybe you guys think differently. I can't imagine Trippie rocking that if he was a rapper in 2010. I can't imagine him rapping that, rocking that. You know what I mean? So when Thug is saying he took the arrows, he's like, yo, I pushed the boundaries so far, yes, to the point where he was wearing women clothing, that basically all the shit that y'all wearing now and people might just look at it and be like, yo, that's just whack. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got crucified for pushing that boundary that now you could just wear it and not get all the scrutiny.
Absolutely.
That I did.
And he don't even dress like that no more. Like, I don't see him wearing, like...
No, I haven't seen dresses.
Yeah, I haven't seen nothing like that.
I mean, don't he got a pearl necklace on in his video?
That's not the same. Remember when he did the Jeffrey album cover? I thought that dress was beautiful.
Yeah, the Raiden hat.
But people had like, so many issues with it.
Yeah. But you know what I think? And I think that was a big part of Thug's strategy. Like, him writing Bay under dudes' pictures and all that because it brought
does.
Attention. Huh?
Still does.
Yeah, but I think... Because, again, I don't question, he got a bunch of kids, don't he? Like,
yeah.
I don't question his sexuality by no means, but it was just so outlandish for us to see some shit like that, mm-hmm. that it made you pay attention, and he had the music to go with it, which is an insane strategy to get known, but it worked for him.
And that's why I wonder, so with other artists, we say it's like they see people like him do it, they do it for attention. I guess when he did it, I didn't feel like the core of it was for attention. Finally, we've got to talk about Tory Lanez and his upcoming Spanish language album called El Agua. Is this a genius move by Tory since Latin trap has completely taken off, or will it potentially dilute his brand? All right, guys, last month, Tory Lanez dropped a track with Ozuna called Pa Mi. So he has a full Spanish language album coming called El Agua. He says, quote, I want to be the biggest artist in the world and I'm not letting anything stand in my way, not even language barriers. We know that Latin trap is blowing up right now. Is this just a genius move from Tory Lanez?
What does Pa mean?
My Spanish is bad. I know El Agua is the water.
Yeah, agua is water.
Let me translate this
one. Drip. That's drip, nigga. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, man. I think it's very risky. I think this shit is very risky. Yeah, I think it's risky. And the only reason why I'm saying that is because we've seen a lot of people, like Nori tried to do that shit back in the day. Like, he tried to do a reggaeton album.
Hey, he had that one banger, though, right?
Yeah,
fire.
Boricua. Morena. Dominicano.
Stop, don't act like that was
no,
that
shit was fire.
Flames. I heard that in every club.
But that album didn't work. Like, you know what I'm saying? They tried to do the whole Rockefeller Latin thing. Like, I forgot what it's called. Rock La Familia. That's what it was. So I'm not saying that he can't do it. I'm just saying that shit is risky at a point in his career right now to do a Latin album. And he's not Latin. I mean, nor he's Puerto Rican.
Hey, this is 100%. Like, we've seen this before in many different aspects. We saw it with Snoop Dogg doing the Snoop
Line. Don't mention that
ever
again.
Yeah, exactly.
Stop it. Embarrassing for everyone involved.
But here's the thing. Latin trap is... Yo, I've been watching and studying, like, Bad Bunny, Arcángel, and, like, fucking Ozuna and all these guys. Mm-hmm. I'm studying them because, you know what, like, of course, Spanish is, like, globally, the reach is so massive, and you can definitely tell by the World Cup, right? Latin trap is blowing up on a level that maybe it's because of social media. Reggaeton never did. Like, I look at this guy, Bad Bunny, he's like the Drake of, like, Latin trap, and, like, he gets on live, and it's, like, 60,000 people that's just watching him, and they're all typing in Spanish. I'm like, damn, imagine the market. Right. So this is smart by Tory Lanez. I don't see how it hurts, right? Because the English motherfuckers like us, it's not like we gonna be checking for him. As long as he doesn't, like, show up to a fucking, like, interview and he's on some, hola, like, as long as he's not on that. I think, like, if it doesn't work... It doesn't work, and I think if he gets the right collabs, he'll probably have a couple songs that pop off. Also, remember, we got to look at Cardi B, who just got a number one.
Cardi B is Dominican. You got to remember something, right? It has to go into the brand, and the reason why I'm saying that is because, all right, when you look at Tory, this is why I'm saying it's risky. He's still establishing, we still don't know who the fuck Tory Lanez is yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, we still don't fully know who he is as an artist yet. Like, we haven't fully, he's only been out for maybe... three or four years as an artist. He still has a lot of establishing to do of himself. And he's talented as shit. Even with his music, it always sounds like him featuring him doing a different rendition of him.
Right.
Or somebody else. But to do a Latin trap album at this point in his career, I just think it's risky. Because, yeah, you can get the features. There's nothing wrong with having, like, those features. But when we talk about in terms of a Cardi B, that's part of her brand. Yeah. We know that Cardi B is a Dominican girl from the Bronx.
I would say it seems like he's being cautious. Not like he was like, this is my official album, right?
He put out
Memories Don't Die. Now he's like, I'm going to give you the Spanish language and this other one. He's just, like, throwing shit at the wall right now.
I think he's attempting to do, and I don't want to say he's trying to do a Drake, but what Drake has done. When Drake basically puts out, like, a UK drill album, you get
me? It's different, though, because he's singing in English.
It's English, but I think he just wants to establish a fan base. Like, by the way, I've seen, like, while shooting his music videos, he's been back and forth to the DR a bunch, right? And he's kind of embracing that culture. But also, I'm just looking at it from a artist that wants to grow internationally. By the way, we do know... He is from Toronto, but, like, he has his roots that are Caribbean-centric.
Right.
So I think he's trying to embrace that. And here's the thing. Maybe the album doesn't do well.
Yeah.
But he just needs one song.
Exactly. One or two, and he's out of here.
And I understand that, but, like, Latin is not Caribbean. Those are two totally, right.
What's the track that all black people know, Suavemente?
Suavemente.
Exactly. He just needs one of those.
Right. But and that's what I'm saying. The thing about the Latin market, it is a big, tremendous market, but they're very funny when people is coming in their house and they feel like they don't belong there. That's one thing that you got to look at too, because they don't always jack people that's jacking they shit, because they know that it's like, okay, it's just another thing for you to do, and that's their culture.
But you know what? It might be at the perfect time though, because we saw a couple of pictures and like videos of Bad Bunny in studio with like Drake. And, I mean, shit, everyone's like, oh, this does make sense. This is another wave, and, of course, Drake could benefit from it. But also, even as big as Latin trap is now, and even, like, other cultures, like, say, reggae, or say, like, UK music, or any other culture, like, or Afrobeat, whatever, right? It's always, they always want that stamp of approval from, like, that U.S. mainstream artist. That's why French Montana's on a song with Alkaline, which is a Jamaican artist. And he gave his best song. You know why? French is going to give it a stamp. Same with Stefflon Dunn. She gave French, take my hot song, Hurting Me. You get me? So I do believe, and I think he wins. You get one song that's just rocking.
Right.
You'll be invited to all the fucking, like...
Absolutely, but also, you got to look at, too, because, like, any song with Bad Bunny and Drake, the casual Drake fan is not then jumping into that world. That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's not going to make them say, you know what? I'm going to listen to this. They might like it for one song, but they're not going to jump fully into it. And that's the only thing with Tory. I think, like, a song or two is cool, but to do a full-on album, spend a budget on that, it's kind of... I mean, A Boogie just did... international artist, right? And that's when he's kind of doing the same music he already does, mm-hmm. but he kind of plays around with, like, different sounds. Like, you know, he has, like, some shit that sounds like it's from Nigeria. Different places, because he's trying to expand himself, and it's just a risky thing to do when people are still figuring out who you are.
Let's be clear also. And by the way, for Tory Lanez in particular, mm-hmm. I think that figuring out who we're still figuring out who he is going to continue for a while. Mm-hmm. Just because, like you said it, right? People keep saying the same thing about him. Okay, but what's your sound?
Yeah.
You sound like this and the third. But he kept saying, like, yo, I write for a bunch of people. And I'm not going to lie, if you listen to Memories Don't Die, he kind of owned it. He says, fuck it. If you say I sound like Drake or I sound like whoever, it's because, shit, I could take a nigga's style and kill it better than they can.
Yeah.
Or they sound like me because I've written for them.
Right.
You get
me?
And him owning it like that tells me he's not in a place of, like, continually trying to answer this proverbial question.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to A Boogie, I do think streaming is such a encouragement of these moves.
Right.
Streaming is global now.
Absolutely.
You know, SoundScan, it's about U.S. sales. And still, you know what I mean, it's still about U.S. sales. But, like, you see so many of these artists, they're going on these huge tours overseas. They're hitting festivals overseas, wireless and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They realize that, yo, we kind of have to use the international market, not just stay in the U.S. market
right.
and hope they come to us. So I like the move. And by the way, in terms of promotion, this is the last thing I'm going to say, is I don't think his label or him is going 100% hard. Like, he just dropped a song with Richard Kidd, right? So it's not, and he's not fucking salsa dancing, but doing bachata. but it's one of the things he's doing to say, hey, if you guys are into this, fuck with this too.
Right.
But I always got this same regular shit for the people who fuck with me.
Yeah.
And I don't mind it. What's the word happening?
Yeah, we gotta see.
Yeah, El Agua coming soon. Let's see if Tory catches his Suavemente.
Suavemente.
Actually, somebody correct me. I think it's the drip. You know what I mean? That just sounds good.
I'm
pretty sure it's not just the
water. The water now. You're right.
It's probably the drip. It's slang.
It's probably the drip.
You see how he said it?
Yo, I watched Narcos, man. I'm telling you.
Yo, all right, well, that was.
All right, y'all, that's our show for the week. Thank you for tuning into the Everyday Struggle podcast. We'll catch you here every Friday.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.